And since it's Thanksgiving week, let me be the first to say thank you. I'm so grateful for you. You are such a gift to me personally, and I love being on mission with you, a church for the city, committed to reconciling divisions, raising up leaders, redeeming the city, renewing the church in such a way that your name is known, your story is heard, your questions are honored. Does that sound familiar? That's what we try to be about together. I want you to sing. We're going to sing a song during communion, and I wanted to prep you for it now. It's a song I used to sing to my kids when they wouldn't sleep. You know, and Kristen and I were exhausted from the 45-minute increments of passing a child back and forth in the middle of the night. And finally, I'd just take Lydia or Tabby or Rai or more recently Ava, and I'd walk out into the living room and I'd sing. They stayed awake the whole time. Sang to them, hopefully calming them down, partly for my own sanity. The song goes like this. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Do you know the song? Why didn't you start singing? I can only do so well with my broken voice, so I'm going to ask Jonathan and Liv and Olivia. Olivia's back! Yay! You can help me on this. I'm trying to get her to sign an NIL deal, you know, so she'll stay around longer. So Olivia's going to sing the melody, and then Jonathan and Liv are going to add harmony. And what I'd really love is if a few of you would join Olivia, because melody's important, but most of you would join Jonathan and Liv singing harmony. And if you know me, you know I'm going to make something of this as the sermon unfolds. Let's see how this goes. Did you hear the harmony? Doesn't it sound so much better when there's harmony? Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, sings a song. He sings a love song. It says, let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning my vineyard. He sings the melody. He sings in such a way. He's inviting us. He's waiting for us. He's wondering if we'll sing the harmony. Sang it first about 3,000 years ago, about 800 BCE, if I'm doing my math right. The people of God, Israel, had acquired wealth. They were living in relative luxury, and they were hoarding it. They were abusing it. They were building bigger houses on top of their bigger houses while others suffered. They were feasting, drinking, while others couldn't find water. And Isaiah starts to sing. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it, cleared it of stone, planted choice vines in it. He built a watchtower and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes. But it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I'll tell you what I'll do with my vineyard. I'll remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I'll break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay waste to it. It will not be hoed or pruned. It will be overgrown with briars and thorns. I'll command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And the people of Judah, his pleasant plantings. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard a cry. This is the word of the Lord. You sort of mumble under your breath. Isaiah sings. I stopped singing. There's more to the song. I dare you to read it. Isaiah sings this love song. It must be more like a country song. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. He sings the melody. There's a few minor notes we have to acknowledge. All the while hoping, waiting, looking for someone somewhere to sing the harmony. Now here's the melody. It's verse 4, if you're following along. Did I tell you it was Isaiah 5? Isaiah 5, 1 through 7. Verse 4, what more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Isaiah's melody line starts where the whole thing starts, with God. God is the beloved. God, in eternal communion as Father, Son, and Spirit, out of his heart of love, overflowing with love, makes the world. He speaks a word and the world happens. We only exist because God speaks. Our life dependent on his breath. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Now, let me be clear. It's helpful to be clear. Isaiah is using this as a sort of metaphor. God is the beloved, and God's people, Israel, are the vineyard. And if you're willing to extrapolate down the road a ways, that would include you. That would include us. That would include the church. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I haven't done in it? It starts with God. God's the beloved. Lavishing goodness, overflowing with abundance for us, for our lives. So when the rains start falling, God gives Noah an ark. And when people were oppressed by Egypt, God calls Moses and he provides manna in the wilderness and water from the rock. He gives Naomi a family and Ruth a husband. He makes Esther a queen and David a king after his own heart. He gives fire for Elijah from heaven and speaks to him in the still small whisper of the wind. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher. Oh, you that profess to be his people, what more could Christ have done for you? What more could the Holy Spirit have done? What richer promises, what wiser precepts, what kinder providences, what more gracious patience? What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? And yet he does more. He sends his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world to take on what we are. He becomes like us so that we can become like him. He's rocked in a rock cradle, nursed near the enemy, born in relative anonymity, rises in popularity, a threat to Roman power and religious rule. So they beat him, they whip him, they laugh at him, they hang him, a laughing stock to the passerbys. The cross becomes his throne, and the tomb becomes the womb for resurrection, your resurrection. He ascends into heaven until he comes again to make it all right and to make it all new. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I haven't done in it? You probably know this. We love to ask the question, why, of God, you know? We call it the problem of pain. There's really the problem of pain has three parts, and we can hold two of them together, but we can't hold three of them together, at least most of us. God is good. God is powerful. Bad things happen. We can hold two of those together. God is good but not powerful. So, okay, yeah, I get it. Bad things happen. God is powerful, not good. So, yeah, okay, I get it. Bad things happen. The problem of pain is holding those three together. How can a good, all-powerful God allow bad things to happen? And it's an important question to ask. It's been asked for millennia, and we ought to ask it. But if I can press just a little, if your answer to the problem of pain is there must not be a God, or this God, this deity, whatever it is relatively benign, you have a different problem, a different question you have to ask. What about the problem of good? How can there be so much good? The infant cries her first breath as her circulatory system shifts directions, allowing her to breathe oxygen. Wow! How can it be so good? The sun setting, painting its pink hues on the sky. The sun not too close to Earth or we would incinerate. Not too far or we'd obliterate. Wow! It's so good! How about earthworms? Take earthworms from the world's equation and life ceases to exist. Whoa! It's so good! Gravity. How about gravity? Do you like gravity? You need gravity. Without gravity, you float into the stratosphere only to implode by the universe pressure. Whoa! It's amazing! Or how about neural pathways? Do you know when you participate in healthy behaviors, you create new pathways in your brain, breaking the cycles of addiction? Wow! It's amazing! What are you going to do with the problem of good if there's no God or if he's a benign deity? You've got a problem on your hands. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I haven't done in it? I don't need to defend God. God is doing just fine. This seems like a good week to do it. Awaken our hearts to gratitude. We grow uncomfortable with our own comfort. Awaken our hearts to gratitude, and the logical conclusion of gratitude is generosity. Too often and too quickly we hoard and accumulate because we think it's a zero-sum game. If you have, that means I must not have. So I better keep mine, I better get mine, I better take yours. That's just bad thinking. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I haven't done in it? Are you with me? Now, of course, Isaiah's love song, this melodic love song, has a few minor notes. Did you notice those? The minor key, is that what it's called? Minor key? It's beautiful when it's redeemed, but otherwise it's just sort of a bummer. Minor key notes, you know how it goes. The song's been sung in minor key so long. Genesis 1, the brilliance of creation, becomes Genesis 3, the chaos of the fall. Genesis 3, the chaos of the fall, becomes Genesis 6, the wickedness of humankind. Genesis 6, the wickedness of humankind, becomes Genesis 11, Babel. We turn ourselves into our own gods. We were made in the image of God, Genesis 1. Genesis 3, we want to be like God. Genesis 11, we become our own gods. And we hoard and we accumulate. It's mine. Belongs to me. I deserve it. I'm entitled. I'm God. Is basically how it goes. Isaiah's not letting you get off the hook. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it when I expected it to yield grapes? Why did it yield wild grapes? It's so interesting to me. We're willing to ask of God the question, why? Why, God? God is not opposed to ask you the same question. Why? You tell me why. Why did it yield wild grapes? Terrorists blow up lives. Hospitals become armories. And the best imagination we can fathom is mowing them down. Why? The tragedy and pain that exists in our world, you're only made aware of it because there's self-interest there for us. CNN, Fox, whatever, it's self-interested. Why? There's so much pain in so many other places, and you don't even hear a thing about it. Why? I'm trying to internalize my inner Isaiah here. How about this? 99.9%, the Human Genome Project has demonstrated this, that 99.9% of all humanity is entirely identical. Did you know that? 99, check this out, 99.9% of all humanity across time and geography is identical. 0.1% makes up all the differences that ought to be celebrated as beautiful, but instead become prejudice and racism and sexism. Why? I mean, Isaiah's singing this song to invite us into self-assessment. Why? You can ask God why. It's a good question. It's a necessary question. We've been asking it for millennia, but God wants to ask you a question. Why? This past week, I was in Jamaica. Life is hard. Life is tough. My daughter Lydia and a couple of pillar friends went down to wonder about a partnership with the Caribbean Christian Center for the Deaf, an amazing organization doing really good things down in Jamaica, and we'll see where it all goes. We were down there for 6 days or so. Beautiful country. I mean, what do you think of when you think of Jamaica? The beach. Sandy, white beaches, beautiful teal ocean water, and reggae music. And there's all of that to be sure, but just off the beat, it's not even off the beaten path. Like right next to the resorts is abject poverty. I mean, like, what? And right next to each other, it's just like so startling and so shocking. You're wondering, like, why? We even asked, we're driving down the road, why? How does this happen? How does this get to be? And the stunning contrast there only opened my heart a little bit to all of the ways it happens here too, still. Inequality and inequity. Why? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? The ancients call it sin. Is that okay to say? Sin wreaking havoc on our lives in this world, destroying the created order. And God's going to do something about it. God's going to set it right. God sent his son Jesus to make it right. So let's get in on it, is the point. Let's get in on the making it right. That's the harmony part. Isaiah offers these terrible lines. God expected justice, but saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard a cry. Isn't that terrible? God expected justice, but saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard a cry. He's inviting us to sing. The harmony lines of justice and righteousness, good thinking, wise judgment that benefits the whole. Righteousness, right living for the common good. Not a personal piety, which is fine, but not Isaiah's call here. Justice and righteousness, sing the harmony. God expected justice, but saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard a cry. Which reminds me of that moment in Genesis 6 when God saw the wickedness of humankind was great on the earth, and he employed Noah for the redemption journey. Or in Exodus 3 when God saw that Moses turned aside to see the bush that burned but wasn't consumed, and God employed Moses to participate in the redemption story. And then just a little bit later, God heard the cries of his people. He saw their pain. He knew their suffering. And God came down to deliver, and ultimately, finally, comes down in Jesus Christ to make it right. And he wants us in on it. Justice, righteousness, sing. You know? It's Does it feel like to you like it's landing? Because I'm not sure. I can't quite tell. You feel? Okay, there. Justice, righteousness, justice, righteousness. It's the harmony of our lives. There's the word for justice is mishpat in Hebrew. The word for bloodshed is mispat. See how close they are? The thread between justice and bloodshed is very, very thin. When a bunch of us sit on our hands and do nothing. The word for righteousness, tzedakah. The word for cry, tzedakah. Do you see the similarity? There's a very thin line that runs between righteousness and crying out. When a bunch of us just put our heads down and mind our own business, not open to a world that needs someone somewhere to offer good. So here's what I was thinking. Here's what I was thinking we could do. On Thursday, I'm guessing 99.9% of you will gather around tables covered in goodness. There'll be so much food, you can't keep it all on the table. If you're like my family, you're going to have some of it off in the kitchen. Then you're going to feast, and I hope you love it. And at some point, someone's going to say, shall we pray a prayer of thanksgiving? That's a good idea. Or someone might say, let's go around and offer one thing we're thankful for. Wonderful. I want you to see it. I want you to say it. But don't let it be a single word or a simple prayer on one Thursday of the year. Let it be a life lived. God's, what more was there to do from a vineyard that I haven't done in it? God's generosity begets generosity. Give, love, serve, offer. Don't hoard, don't keep, don't accumulate. There's a desperate world in need. Are you with me? Oh, good. I thought I lost you there. So the point is, I'm trying to work this. Isaiah sings a love song. He sings the melody line. He sings the melody, inviting us to sing harmony. That's the idea. So JG, Liv, Olivia, I want this to like find its way into your soul. You can forget the sermon, but remember the harmony. Justice, righteousness, justice, right? So sing with them. If you would.
Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain.